What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story. We break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
From 37 to send Washington to the Final Eight. The Washington Commanders off the upright, and it is in! They doink their way to the divisional round! Unbelievable!
I felt like I was in a Bounty commercial, you know, where the cup spills, and it hit, and as it went through, I kind of just paused and probably skipped a beat. But that's honestly the emotion where it was at to go. We put it on the left, but was thankful, obviously, to knock it through. But it was definitely a long 8-9 seconds field goal.
As strange at times and as circuitous as Washington's win over the Bucks was last night in primetime, it was perfectly fitting for this 2024 group coming down to the wire, winning those big victory moments that they talk about all the time at the end of the game. Fifth straight contest, final play from scrimmage goes Washington's way for a win. 13 wins now on the campaign and counting. They are on to Detroit to take on the Lions with some thoughts on the Commanders' victory in Tampa and how they match up with Detroit. Our buddy Jay Gruden joins
on air and on the road. Jay Gruden is driven by the Tempered Automotive Group, Tempered Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Tempered Chantilly Lincoln, and Tempered Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Tempered for Life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at Tempered.com.
Jay, what'd you make of the Commanders' win last night?
Amazing win. Amazing game to watch down here in Florida. It was a fun game. Critical moments were captured by, Washington. They made the plays when they had to and got it done at the end. It was a hell of a game.
What was the most important kind of hidden play in the game? Everyone's going to play the doink off the upright to end it. But to you, what was the one where as soon as the play happened, you went, you know what? Washington's going to win this game.
Probably the pass to De'Ami Brown on 3rd and 6. The deep crossing route, in route that set up the game-winning field goal, the drive anyway. There's still 4.5 minutes to go. If they don't catch that ball and they have to punt, obviously Tampa Bay has a ton of time to get the victory. So I think the De'Ami Brown throw, he anticipated that throw across the middle, is a perfect throw. Location was great. Great job by De'Ami locating it. And I think that was probably the biggest play of the game.
There's
a lot of big ones, but that was a big one.
Yeah, that's a great one. Running backs on actual runs, 18 carries for 34 yards last night, and they still won with Jaden going for 300 all-purpose and not turning the ball over. Describe your breakdown of his outing at quarterback.
It's first class. Top-notch, top quarterback in the National Football. He won the top 3 or 4 right now the way he's playing. And it's just his game management skills. He doesn't turn the ball over. He doesn't take a lot of sacks. He only got sacked one time against a pretty good Buck defense. And it wasn't like he was in second one all day. They had some tough downs. They had some 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6s. Todd Bowles tried to blitz him. He just escapes with his feet. He anticipates throws. He's playing as good as any quarterback in the National Football League, without a doubt. And he makes it look effortless. It looks so easy for him. It doesn't look like he's trying. He just gets it done. It's really weird.
Jay, when you say game management, I think a lot of folks just sort of think of, somebody just checking it down a bunch. But go into what that actually means in terms of, sort of the intricacies and how complicated it is for anybody, let alone a rookie quarterback, to be able to do it.
Yeah, he's got an innate ability to, you know, he knows when to escape with his legs and make a positive play on a passing play. He knows when to check it down. He knows when to take a shot. He hardly ever makes a wrong decision with the ball in his hands, which is really weird for a first-year quarterback. You know, you see him checking down to Eckler. You see him scramble for Gannett, too, because it's the only play. He seems to make the best play, which is the only play half the time. Rarely have I seen him, what are you doing, Jay? Why would you throw this into coverage? Why would you make this decision? Why would you scramble? The guy's wide open. You watch a film, and he's making the play that is he's supposed to make every time. It's uncanny.
Yeah, and in the biggest moments, he's just so calm. I've never seen anything like the reaction he had to the game-winning field goal. I don't know if you've seen that video, but he doesn't really emote. Like, he kind of stands up, and you can't tell if they won or they lost. He wouldn't have known it. He's just a different kind of cat.
There's another play early in the game in the first quarter. They were backed up. They just went down and drove and missed the field goal. And so they got the ball. He had 3rd and 6 at their own 12. And he escapes to his right. Everybody's covered. And he just randomly looks to his left and finds Zach Ertz for a gain of 12. And they move the sticks. And they go on to have a 17-play, 9-minute drive. Not many quarterbacks are going to roll to the right by the sideline, flip their hips to the left, and find a guy across the middle. It just doesn't happen very often. And that play right there was another pivotal play in the game nobody talks about.
And he threw the ball from the end zone, by the way. Like that, he was drifting into the end zone. He was in the red paint when he threw it, and I'm going, get rid of it. Throw it. Like, what are you doing? It was, you know what it's like? It's like a shooter in basketball. Like, no.
Great shot.
Good job.
Exactly. Great shot.
Right. I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah. That drive ate up 9 minutes, and they got a touchdown on that drive. That just kind of changed the whole complexion of the game.
You were here when an instrumental in evaluating and drafting Terry McLaurin. What did you guys see? Take me back to that time. I mean, could you have envisioned this? He's just an absolute beast. He's a second-team All-Pro. I had the huge catch early. He makes catches like that every week, so it's not surprising. But it's a crazy impressive catch. Goes 7 for 89 and a touchdown last night.
Yeah, no, he wasn't really the number one guy at Ohio State. They had a couple other guys. Paris Campbell was on that team. I think Curtis Samuel might have been on that team as well.
He was, yeah.
I think J.K. Dobbins was probably on that team. So they had a really good football team. And he didn't really emerge as a top prospect, top five, top three round player until the Senior Bowl. When he played in the Senior Bowl, he dominated the Senior. He's the best player on the Senior Bowl field by far. And he moved up our draft board like rocket fire. And, you know, we were hoping we got him in the third. I thought we should have taken him in the second, but I think we ended up trading our second round pick. We ended up getting late in the first. We got the Sweat late in the first in that draft. We had to wait till the third round to get Terry. So fortunately it fell to us, but yeah. And then you get him in person and it's just explosion. His burst is his ability to do whatever you want him to do. He's just got a great acceleration. He's very smart, very detailed in what he does. He's never going to line up wrong. He's a perfect player. You know, combination of great kid, great player, productive speed. He's tough. He'll block. He does it all. I mean, I don't know what else you want him to do.
Jay Gruden with us here on G&D. Jay, what do you make of the fourth down decisions of Dan Quinn? So I'll say for me, it's just a pudgy zilch at home. I love it. I'm sitting there pumping my fist. Even when it doesn't work, it's like, to me, like playing blackjack. You play a certain way and gives you the best chance. But I've also never had to answer questions at a podium. So, I don't necessarily know what that's like. But going to the mind of the head coach there, what'd you make of those fourth down calls?
Yeah, I think he has total faith in Cliff and Jaden, without a doubt. And I think this is something that they're doing now. This is what they do. So it's not surprising for anybody. Cliff's ready for him when it's fourth down, so it's good for Cliff to know that, hey, we're going to go for these, so I'm ready for my sheet to be called. The quarterback's ready. The team's ready. They don't even jog off the field and expect the field. They're ready to go for it. That's awesome that Coach Quinn has that much faith in a rookie quarterback, and he should. They're 88% converting damn things. I mean, why would you kick a field goal or punt? Trust Wade didn't even show up yesterday. Did he even get off the bus?
Just a hold.
That was a good hold, yeah. Too. I think it has a lot to do with the faith in the quarterback and the people executing the plan, and he has total faith in the guys doing it, and I can't even begin to fault him for going for it, even if he doesn't get it.
Yeah, I mean, you look at their fourth down success, and you wonder why they go as often as they do or why they did some of the things they did, and they are the most successful team on fourth down out of over 700 teams, basically, in terms of, like, offenses over the last X number of years. And it's been that way all year long in terms of their EPA per play, how often they move the chains, how often they get those. Give me some things you liked about Kingsbury's plan and calls yesterday, and then if there's anything that was questionable.
I don't think there's anything questionable. You know, they tried to run the ball. Obviously, that's the strength of Tampa Bay's defense, but you can't just totally give up on the run. You still have to make them honor the inside zones and some of the run plays that they had. But overall, I think he did a good job. Him and Jaden have a very good comfort level with one another as far as the plays they're calling. They had great tempo. I love the tempo. You know, I think when you play against a Todd Bowles team and you're stagnant and you're breaking the huddle and you're lining up, Todd Bowles can disguise his coverage. He can disguise his blitzes. But you go to the ball fast, even if you're not snapping it fast, it makes Todd Bowles get his call in quicker, and he can't get into some of his exotic defenses and blitzes. So I think that was A-plus for Cliff attacking Todd Bowles' defense like that. So, yeah, the plays were there. I mean, some of the red zone plays were excellent. You know, the crossing route to Terry McLaurin in the back of the end zone on fourth down, he was probably a secondary guy. You know, the front side three-man combination was probably his first read, but the safety cheated over there, and Jade went right to Terry for an easy touchdown. Everything was working for him, and Cliff does a great job, but Jaden does an unbelievable job of executing and getting to the right people.
Jay, you mentioned Tampa's D. It looked like they sort of changed their style up as the game was progressing, right? Early on, you associate Todd Bowles with blitzing. You know, if he could blitz twice on the same play, he would. You know, I mean, just he loves it. Seemed like they kind of went away from that at times based on what Washington was doing. What did you see from their defense and kind of that live chess match that was going on?
Yeah, I think he was, you know, he saw him at halftime. He was bewildered at halftime. I don't know if you saw the interview. He's like, hey, we got to quit us. Let him escape to the left. I mean, right. I mean, the defense is left.
Yeah,
I mean,
my left on his right, but his stage left.
So he was a bad. And then he went to a three-man rush with double spies. I mean, that's what Jaden does to you. I mean, you don't know how to defend him. You know, it's you know, he breaks contain so effortlessly, and guys are wide open. And then he lost a starting corner, I think, early in the second quarter, and had a backup corner in there, so he's probably had to protect him a little bit. So, you know, obviously Cliff's tempo had a lot to do with this. So I think Bowles was a lot more conservative than he would be any other day.
Jay Gruden with us each and every week throughout the season and throughout what is now a longer playoff run than most expected. We'll see if they can keep the train on the tracks against the Detroit Lions. A couple other things that we've heaped some praise on the defense. You know, people are pointing to they only gave up 20 points and nobody really thought they would do that. I think that's about Washington's offense, though. They ran 70 plays to Tampa Bay's 44. Time of possession was 35-26 to 24-34. They dominated holding the football. I point to the end of the game with 4:41 to go, and they never gave the Bucs the ball back. Like, to me, their best defense was actually their offense. Baker had a 150 quarterback rating, and they averaged 6.5 yards per play. Bucky Irving averaged 4.5 yards per carry after a slow start. What did you make of how they played defensively? I just thought they hid that group just enough.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And that's complimentary football. Offense did a great job of possessing the ball and keeping the defense fresh. You know, Tampa had 7 possessions, 2 touchdowns, 2 punts, 2 field goals, and a fumble. So, I mean, that's not terrible. You know, holding them to 3 points and then getting a turnover. I know it was a gift of a turnover, but still. And they held them to 2 punts. And so, yeah, I think they played good. They play hard, man. I like the way they play. They play hard, and they're not the most talented defense out there. They don't have any first ballot Hall of Famers or Pro Bowlers on their defense, but they do have a lot of guys that play together and play hard, and they're in the right spot where they're supposed to be. They're going to give up some plays against good offenses. That's going to happen, but I like the fact that they're always running to the ball and they're playing their asses off. That's what I like.
Jay, so I want to go to that Lattimore-Evans thing. It's one of those things where you want your guys to be competitive. And again, I want your head coaching hat on here. You want your guys to want to seek the challenge, right? At what point as a coach do you walk over to the DC or whoever and go, we got to do something different. This ain't working, you know? And to their credit, they did. They made that adjustment. But you ever had something like that happen? And you know, then you sort of pull that headset up and whisper in the defensive coordinator's ear, like, hey, maybe go to play, you know, sheet number 2 here on the old play calls.
Yeah, we've had that. We've tried to match defensive backs up against really good receivers. They start moving around in different spots, and we just get torched. I say, hey, let's reevaluate this. Let's go back to where they're supposed to be and play zones and whatever. But, yeah, you have to reevaluate certain things during the game. Make adjustments. Hopefully they're not too wholesale adjustments, but some minor tweaks are always important on game day.
Jay Gruden on the Fan. All right, let's look ahead to the Lions then for a couple of moments with you, if you don't mind. Saturday night, 8 p.m. kick in Detroit, the one seed. Detroit's going to be very rested. Washington, obviously, a short week now. They probably landed at, I don't know, 2 in the morning, got in their beds by 3 or 4, so you lose most of today anyway. What kind of chance do you give them?
I give them a great chance, really. I think offensively they can get after Detroit's defense. We know they're banged up. They play hard, though, on that turf. Glenn does a great job with that defense. Blitzen running around. They hustle around. They have some good players out there. But, you know, obviously it's all about trying to stop Detroit. But I think it's still going to come down to Coach Campbell and Coach Quinn, some of their fourth down decisions. You know, Coach Campbell's equally as aggressive, if not more aggressive, than Coach Quinn going for it on fourth down. So these are the plays, the situational type plays that you're going to have to deal with, and you're going to have to step up and make the plays. Going for it, stopping them on fourth down, red zone, third downs, those will be the big plays, and whoever can make those will end up victorious. But Detroit's offense is damn near unstoppable. They're very good, but they have some chinks in their armor. They can turn the ball over. Jared has had games where he throws five interceptions. You know, he's turned the ball over. So you got to force the ball out and make some plays on defense, and then Jaden, just continue to do your thing.
What would your message be this week? Just as you know, they're you're coming off the win, you got short rest, the rested team, the one seed. You already kind of going into this, but I'd love again to kind of put your coach's hat on. Where you're playing a great team, you're heavy underdogs. What kind of messaging would you have?
Oh, we expect to win. We're going to go up there and do everything we can to win. We're going to have a great week of practice. We're going to play our ass off. We're going to get up a great plan. You guys are going to be all in on the week of practice and the preparation, and we're going to go up there and take our swings. We're going to swing for the fences. That's all we're going to do. That's what we do. That's what they do in Washington now. They swing for the fences, going forward on fourth down. They're going to blitz. They're going to tackle. They're going to rush to the football, force turnovers, block, tackle. They're going to do all the things necessary to win this football game, but it starts this week with preparation, great preparation, a great state of mind, and confidence that we're going to go up there and kick their ass.
Jay, how about tonight's game, Monday Night Football, Vikings-Rams. They've moved the game to a neutral site, so it's kind of a wacky lead-up to this game for both teams, in a sense, now playing in Phoenix. Who do you like to advance and play the Eagles in the Final Four in the NFC?
It'll be interesting because the Rams haven't looked too good on offense. They've been trying to really feature Kyron Williams in a running game, but that's not going to work too well against Minnesota's front. They had a really good defensive front for stopping the run, so Stafford's going to have to air it out. They're going to have to protect Stafford. That's the biggest concern I have for the Rams offense. Then, obviously, Sam Darnold, man, he can't play like he played last week. He's got to play like Sam Darnold the first 12 weeks. So I like Minnesota, though. I just think top to bottom, I think Minnesota has a better team. I do like Stafford in clutch situations a little bit more than Sam Darnold because Sam hadn't had to do it. Matthew has. That might come down to that. But I think it's going to be a great game. These guys are know each other pretty well, Kevin and Sean. It'll be fun to watch.
Non-Washington division, who impressed you the most over the weekend?
Probably Baltimore. Baltimore without Zay Flowers, they still racked up 320 yards rushing. They just beat the hell out of Pittsburgh. Buffalo's just Buffalo. They're unbelievable, those two teams. And obviously Washington, other than Washington. But, yeah, there's some good football teams out there. I think the best teams, the cream always rises to the top of season playoff time. So it's fun to watch these guys. And next week is going to be unreal.
Jay, Mike McCarthy's out in Dallas. There are some thoughts maybe that Ben Johnson ends up with the Cowboys. He's been rumored to Jacksonville. I mean, if you were the number one sought-after guy in this cycle, where would you want to end up?
It would probably depend on who my personnel guys, who I'm working with. You know, are they going to force a GM on me that's going to make the personnel decisions for me? I think Ben will probably have his own guy he'll want to work with, so that's number one. Number two will be the quarterback. Who's my quarterback? I'd probably like to work with Dak. He's still young, coming off an injury a little bit. They got CD. They got some good players on that roster. Jacksonville, I'm just up and down on Trevor Lawrence. I don't know if he's the guy that deserves that type of contract. He hasn't performed consistently at any point in his career. At least Dak has been mentioned for Offensive Player of the Year and MVPs before. He's had some great years, not in the playoffs, so to speak, but I'd probably lean towards Dallas.
Jay, always awesome, my friend. I like that we're talking about a playoff victory here in Washington with you. A lot of fun, man. Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, thanks. See you guys later.
It's Jay Gruden on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. The Commanders' first playoff win in 6,945 days last night. The wait is finally over.
Is that all?
Thanks largely to Jaden Daniels. Let's talk about the very special quarterback next on G&D.
Daniels, throw an end zone, touchdown! Washington takes the lead! I'm extremely blessed and fortunate to play with him, and he's just so calm. Like, we just won the, you know, the wild card the first time. I think he was like 5 years old the last time we won a playoff game. Right. And he's calm and cool and collected in the locker room, and that's just who he is, man. And when you got a guy like that behind center who's so young, still has so much room to continue to grow, it's really exciting to see what his future is going to be in this league. And the toughest thing I feel like to do is what he's doing is continue to make the right plays at the right times, no matter what the score is, no matter what the first three quarters look like. When the ball's in numbers five hands, when the ball's in our offense's hands, we trust him and we trust the preparation that we've had all season.
And why wouldn't you? There's Terry McLaurin on Grant and Danny. There were two examples to me of Daniels's unprecedented, probably, for a young person, but certainly abnormal ability to compartmentalize and have a quick memory and just stay calm and be unfazed. The first was, I thought maybe his worst throw of the night was a 3rd and 5 to Zach Ertz, where he had some time. There was a little bit of pressure. It was a muddy pocket, probably, but he's a big boy and he makes big boy plays all the time. You just kind of come to expect it. And on 3rd and 5, he makes a throw to Ertz, like, at his feet.
Yeah, stops the momentum. Sure, it was, like, very Mark Brunell.
Yeah, burnt it into the ground right at his cleats, basically. And it set up a 4th and 5, and Quinn rolled the dice and went for it. On that 4th and 5, though, Terry had just run a deep route. He was actually open, and Jaden didn't see him. And so Terry had to kind of peel off and get out of bounds. And now it's a 4th and 5, and your war daddy's not on the field. The secondary war daddy's Ertz. And you just threw to him, and it's like, are they going right back to him on one of those similar routes they just ran? What are they doing here? He goes right back to Ertz on a very comparable route, and he drives it perfectly into a small window. You can't throw it any better. And it was just an awesome pass. Perfect. One play after, on a similar concept to the same guy in the similar area of the field, he botched it. But he didn't remember that. He's a goldfish, this guy. His memory is 3 seconds. Like, he was completely unbothered by the previous throw. And that is the symbolism to me of Jaden Daniels at his best and why he is what he is. And the other is what I've talked about all day long, which was just his lack of reaction to when they won the game and his comfort seemingly one way or the other in, if we don't win it here, we'll win it later. It just, there was no reaction like, oh, thank God, or there's no relief. There's no, the monkey's off my back kind of thing. There was none of that. It was just a, so we're done now? Okay.
Okay.
Let's go shake hands.
We have business to do. I have some interviews. Give me a second, guys.
Love them.
But so when Terry was talking, it reminded me of this. And I know a lot of people have come to express sentiments like this. I'm going to turn sappy here for a second. But because it's been so long, you can't help but start to go down memory lane a little bit. And when Terry was talking about we trust and we have dependability and we sort of feel like, you know, it's in Jaden Daniels' hands. I thought back to my grandfather on my dad's side, you know, lifelong military service, bounced around all over the place. And he used to say to me, he had all these little aphorisms, these little sayings. And the thing he said to me for a billion times over, he would say, Daniel, it takes a lifetime to build up trust and a moment to break it. The point being, trust isn't something you can just go, trust me. And then someone goes, oh, okay. You show up every day. You don't skate. You don't do it once for Instagram. You don't like work out hard once and then screw around and you know hang out on your phone. Trust comes from showing up and doing what you're supposed to do every time, always, right? So when you come through for your teammate, for your person, for your friend, for your spouse, for your kids, every time, then people trust you. It takes only a second to screw around and not really do it and not really care anymore or whatever. And I was struck by that, where it's this veteran who has seen everything come and go, seen the next big thing, seen the next fix, seen the next coach, seen the next whomever that was supposed to change things, and it took this Heisman Trophy winning kid to come in here and actually do it.
I want to play some audio from some analysts today around the country about Jaden Daniels after they watched. You can't call it a coming out party. He's had too many of those already.
I was going to say, yeah.
But the coronation of the superstardom, I suppose. This is Rex Ryan, who once coached a rookie to a conference championship game. It was Mark Sanchez with the Jets back in 09.
There's no heartbeat. Like you say, there's no heartbeat.
Right.
Like, this guy is what you call a hired killer. He comes back in there. And let me prove it to you. A perfect QBR is 100.
Right.
Okay, yeah. We all know it. During this six-game win streak, which, by the way, they got to win every one to mm-hmm. go in the playoffs, on the biggest downs, third and fourth down, he has a QBR of 99.2. I'm not making this stuff up. Versus the blitz. Remember, man, you could always rattle the cage of a young quarterback.
Sure.
That'd be a 98. Okay.
Incredible.
And then when his team's trailing, 89.2. And in the fourth quarter, when it's something time, we call it, stone time or whatever,
mm-hmm.
87 quarterback rating. This is ridiculous. These numbers, we've never seen out of anybody. We've never seen them out of Tom Brady.
Right.
And this is a dang rookie.
That's Rex Ryan, who took a break from angling for the Jets job to break down the NFL.
That was the second part of the clip. We didn't play it.
Yeah. Dan Orlovsky talking about Jaden Daniels today.
This is about Jaden Daniels. This organization was a mockery for what feels like 15 or 20 years outside of that brief little window that they had with RG3. This is about a guy. He was the second quarterback taken, and he's doing this. He should have been the first quarterback taken. This is a guy that, you know, 6 weeks ago, Shannon, Stephen A. Molly maybe started to hit that rookie wall. If you remember that Thursday night game, I believe, versus the Eagles, when he didn't play well and he didn't look like himself, and that offensive rookie of the year conversation with him and Bo Nix, got a little interesting. It's about a young man that everyone said, well, is he going to survive? It's a long season in the NFL. Can't go running in the NFL like you did in the SEC. or you know what? Maybe he was as good as he was in college because he had those two ridiculous receivers. How's that working out, everybody? This is about a young man that has gone to the Commanders and totally changed the next 10 years.
This is Teddy Bruschi, who thinks this might be the best rookie we've ever seen.
The rookie rules don't apply. They don't apply to this guy. I've never seen something like this. 13 years as a player, 16 years as an analyst here. This is the best rookie quarterback I've seen. I mean, Roethlisberger was pretty good, too, when he started. But this guy just has more. I mean, you could see the plan that Tampa had and how they were trying to execute it and setting edges. Todd Bowles talked about it after the game, but he just beat him. I think Kalijah Kansi's a pretty good player.
Yeah.
And he made him look average in terms of just a little stiff arm, just a little out the gate, and then it's third and one. And then Quinn, the pressure he continues to put on him on fourth down in this game, 3 for 5, all right, resulting in 14 points. They were 82% on the season on fourth down. This may be the best fourth down team ever in terms of those drives have resulted in 129 points this season with a rookie. Take the word rookie out. This guy's special.
Former players, Hall of Famers, mm-hmm. great players, great coaches, just blown away. Here's Colin Cowherd on Jaden Daniels.
Is Jaden Daniels the best rookie quarterback ever? I mean, he had a little bit of turbulence in the midseason, but it's a lot like Andrew Luck. I mean, Andrew Luck came into the league with a terrible roster, and this isn't a great one. It's better than Andrew Luck's. The guy finished, I think I'm right on this, fifth fourth quarter comeback this season. That's tied with Patrick Mahomes for the most in the NFL. His quickness, his smarts. In the red zone, on fourth down tonight, his passer rating was 103. That's just incredible. On the final drive, 3 for 3, ran for a first down, 57 passing yards. This kid's making decisions in crisis, in a congested red zone that, I mean, like eight-year veterans make. I can't tell you how impressed I am with Jaden Daniels.
You and everybody else,
yeah,
including
line,
a quarterback, Danny, who played 13 years in the league mostly as a backup, Chase Daniel on Jaden Daniels. No relation, by the way, between singular Chase Daniel and plural Chase Daniel.
That's good to know.
And the best thing about Jaden is when it's fourth quarter or overtime, that's when he's at his best. We're all talking about these plays. Let's show you what we're talking about because we have three right here. First play, first quarter. This is scary Terry up top. It is clearly man-to-man. This is an alert. This isn't even in the first read. You should be throwing
a deep
cross.
Release.
Look at the pocket.
Yep, get to
look
that
at
red
the ball
line.
Placement. Huh? Look at the red line. The throw is perfect. The catch is perfect. I mean, you're taking a shot in the wild card game, first quarter. Here's the fourth down touchdown to Scary Terry. He looks right, okay, doesn't like it, goes back, resets. Watch him reset back right there. You see him, that little reset back gets away from him. Touchdown, fourth down, huge play in the game. Dan Quinn decided, and this is the scramble.
This is
the keeper, third down. kayfabe. He's hit 7 yards in the backfield.
Get off me.
Baker might have a chance to get the game out of his hands. And then this center and right tackle, the blocking that it does, he dives forward for the first down. Ball game, game over. When the stuff hits the fan and it's on the road in a hostile environment, when you need to make a play, there's no one better right now than Jaden Daniels.
I think that's the key to me. On the road, down by two, you need a field goal, you get the ball at your own 20. How many people do you take over Daniels right now in the NFL?
It's a short list. I mean, it's the suspects at the top of the MVP voting.
Probably Mahomes. Maybe Allen and Jackson.
Yeah, Allen, Jackson, Burrow. I mean, it's a tiny list.
That's awesome.
That's the stratosphere. That's the level.
13 wins, by the way.
There it is.
For a team that normally wins somewhere between, in a bad year, 4, and a good year, 8.
Yeah, they won 4 last year. Right now, a week and five days ago, Ron Rivera was let go. That's where we were 1 year ago pretty much today. Who's going to be his replacement? Who's the GM? What are we doing? I hope some of these things work out. How about all of them? How about every single one of them?
Wednesday, I believe, is the 1 year anniversary of the hiring of Adam Peters. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Let's get to your calls next. How you feeling on this Victory Monday? 800-636-1067 is the number on the Fan.
Ninth all-time in NFL history. The ball's down. Mayfield lost it, and Washington pulled it away. Let's go! And it's Bobby Wagner, the captain, as Jalen McMillan and Baker Mayfield mess up the exchange.
Mike Tirico on the call, NBC's Football Night in America. Last night on Sunday Night Football. Welcome back to Grant and Danny, the Commanders. Surprise the Bucs, get a 23-20 win on the road, and now they get the Detroit Lions this Saturday in Michigan, where at Ford Field, the Lions will be 8.5-point favorites. That number, I'll be curious to see what happens, right? A lot of times that number can climb for the favorite when you have a, you know, an upstart team like Washington, but I think America is starting to fall in love with this team a little bit. Just looking at some of the comments today and nationally on some of the, you know, things being put out by networks, seems like people really, really are digging the Commanders, and I think that's the Daniels effect.
I would bet that line shrinks between now and then. It's funny to talk about betting on a betting line, but that's what I would say is that I bet you it's less than 8.5 by kickoff, because I think that sentiment is going to be out there.
Remember, for much of the stretch run of the season, we didn't think Austin Ekeler was going to come back and play, and we didn't think he'd be available in the playoffs. He had 4 catches yesterday for 38 yards. He had a 12-yard, officially it was a run, but it really was a pass. It was a screen into the flat. And then he had the huge 18-yard catch and run that set them up in field goal range to win the game. On a pass
massive
from Daniels over the hand of Yaya Diaby, who got Yaya on that play.
He got Yaya there.
They Diaby'd him with basically a toss. Hand was in the air, but he wasn't quite turned and ready to make a play on the ball. I don't know what it was like on TV. In person, it looked petrifying.
It was precarious.
I mean, it was one of those like, oh my God, is he going to pick that off? Like, I've seen that play for Washington go the other way, where someone makes this ridiculous, athletic, crazy play. They bat the ball up in the air and they catch it or whatever. But not this team, not this quarterback, not this season. Of course, it just goes right into the waiting hands of Ekeler for a perfectly placed pass. And he turns it upfield for 18 and they're in field goal.
It reminded me, honestly, in that moment, is like a couple times where my heart was in my throat. It reminded me, I had a flashback to LeVar Arrington intercepting Chris Wenke's pass in that Carolina game, where it's in the flat, the defender's right there, you don't think he can get to it, but then he's so athletic, so explosive, all of a sudden he swallows the thing up and takes it back. I'm going, oh no, great play. And there's Ekeler wiggling, breaking tackles, moving forward for 18 yards. That and the Diami Brown completion on that drive, that was your big chunks. That basically flip field position, almost 40 yards combined between the two plays, set them up to win the football game.
That LeVar pick of Winky is one of my favorite plays ever. That was the Schottenheimer year in 01. They were 0-5. That was their 6th game. He returns the pick. They win the game, and they win 5 in a row.
Rod Gardner game.
And they get, that's right, 200-yard game for Rod Gardner.
Oh, 50-50, caught a couple tutties.
Good pull. They went 5-5 in their first 10 because of the five-game winning streak that that interception led them to. To the phones we go, 800-636-1067. Wayne's out in Bowie, home of the Bay Sox. What's
party
up, Wayne?
On Wayne.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, buddy.
We've only been waiting to do this show for 11 years, so we're doing good.
Well, I just want to say a couple of things. One, I'm 75. I saw Buster Douglas knock out Mike Tyson at the height of his career when Tyson was knocking everybody out. I saw the Washington Nationals knock the heck out of the Houston Astros. And people say that the Houston Astros was going to beat the Nationals. I also have seen Ken Houston stop Walt Garrison on the one-yard line. David knocks out Goliath, and the Washington Nationals got a chance. Why not us? I'm out.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Wayne. Party on.
The Nationals have a chance,
They too? Do have a chance.
And the Commanders as well. I think I see where he was going with that.
Yeah, I know what he meant. I would also say, I'd say the Nats maybe are a couple marquee signings away from this year, but I think your point's well seen.
I think what he's saying is, don't count the Commanders out against the Lions because Buster Douglas did that thing that time. Let's go to TJ, also in Bowie. We are big in Bowie on
playing
this show.
In Bowie, the boys.
What's up, TJ?
TJ.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good, buddy.
Good.
So, I just want to say real quick that I used to hate and loathe when we played on primetime because I would go to work and I'm in the military and I would just get clowned by everyone who teams were way better than us. In every primetime game we've had this year, we've won. And so now we know what winning feels like and I go to bed with a smile. So I just want to say that and I'm just very excited about that.
That's such a good point.
Love it. Thank you.
I am old enough to remember when a primetime game meant embarrassment, shame, and being mortified to have to watch my team and know that other people might also see it.
I look at the schedule in the springtime and go, oh no.
Being on primetime was like a friend or neighbor swinging by your house unannounced when you weren't ready for them. So like they drop by and you're at the door and you're like, hey, and they're like, hey, what's going on, man?
And you're like mid-packing.
Or your house is just a mess. Your kids have been throwing stuff everywhere. And yet you got to let them in. There's no other way to do it. And they're just... they're seeing it at your worst. It's like being caught with your pants down. You know, someone saw you right. I walked out of the shower and someone was like, oh my God, I wasn't supposed to see that. That's what it's like being on primetime for this organization for 25 years. Not anymore. Now it's kind of fun. Now it's a party you throw after your house is in order.
Yeah, let everybody else see. Come on by. We have it catered.
Let's go to Marcos in San Diego, listening on the Odyssey app. What's up, buddy?
Greetings, gentlemen, and salutations from the West Coast. Just wanted to share with you guys that Burgundy and Gold Nation was loud and proud out here at our headquarters, which is called Winston's in Ocean Beach. And we were about 400 plus strong. The fire marshal would not have approved. And it was a fabulous time. And the best part about all this, and I also shared this with Toby on my drive home late last night, is the fact that we're back, Danny. Like, this is like our youth, you know, winning these types of games and the atmospheres and the way that we're doing it. It just brings everybody together, and that's the beauty of all this. I'm 55, Danny, so, again, I'm more towards your age range and experiences that we've had with the Burgundy and Gold. So what the beauty of it is, I was able to share this, for example, yesterday with my table next to me, there was people there that were 70 years old. And then the table to our right, there was people there that were 22 years old.
That's awesome.
So to be able to share this experience is fantastic. And Danny, to your point, I think you mentioned this. I think it was after the Bengals game or maybe the Bears Hail Mary. He's ours and you can't have him. You're so right, Danny.
Appreciate you, dude. Yeah, I mean, the memory part of it is younger folks will never understand the feeling. Not just that you win a big game. It's that if you didn't win one, you had this deserved and correct confidence. We'll get them next week or we'll be back next year. Because you'd lose to, like, the Giants in the NFC title game the year that they went on to win the Super Bowl because they were incredible. Or you'd lose to the 85 Bears, one of the great teams of all time. Or you dropped one to the Niners, one of the four best DVOA teams in the history of the sport. And you just go, Gibbs will have him back. And you're starting that again. You know what I mean? You've got all the parts, and you're assembling that car to be able to drive down the highway each and every season. You've already seen some of it. Like, without all the fine tuning, and this, like, that first model of Ford versus Ferrari, we haven't gotten everything right yet, but we have a better top speed, and the whole league is on notice. That's what this is like. It's the beginning of that again, and it's easy to dare to dream if you're in our age range.
When did you know last night that they were going to win? I want to answer that question and ask it to Danny next. 800-636-1067. Plus, we always wind our show down 6 o'clock on Mondays with Don't Forget About, especially on Victory Mondays. This is a very rare Victory Monday. This is extra good. This is a playoff Victory Monday.
Mm-hmm.
These don't happen around here.
No, they do not. No, sir.
There was probably a radio show in D.C. in 2005 into 2006 covering this team over on the old 980. Probably Zabe and Poland, I would guess. It's probably the afternoon drive show. There was no FM sports talk station.
Nope.
In January of 2006, 19 years ago, in this town. Now there is.
Now there is.
And we're painting the town burgundy and gold all week long. We're taking this party to Detroit this weekend.
We're going streaking.
Grant and Danny on the Fan.